All right, awesome. How's everyone doing? It's a Wednesday afternoon of a two-and-a-half, it's the last afternoon of a two-and-a-half-day conference. Anybody need anything? Anybody need coffee, gummy worms, popsicles? I can't deliver any of these things. I'm just asking what you need. So last session, last but not least, we've got, I'm going to pronounce it right here. We've got Rita, and I asked her how to pronounce her last name, and she said C, and then Dre, like Dr. Dre. And so I'm just going to go over the whole thing because I like it a lot. She's going to talk about what you do with content to drive loyalty, customer engagement, and it's all you.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. It's on. Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm really happy and excited to be here to talk about what I call content beyond conversion. So I'm a marketing director at Zillow Group, and I oversee the agent marketing team, meaning the team that does all marketing to our primary set of customers who are real estate agents. So when they asked me to come up with topics to talk about here, knowing this was a content marketing convention, at first I thought I should talk about demand generation, because my first 2 years at Zillow were super focused on demand gen. And then last year, I switched over to a role to basically oversee paying customer marketing. And it was actually really, really hard to come up with a content strategy for paying customers, because it's not a well-documented field as much as demand gen content strategy is. So what I'm hoping to share with you guys today is, first, a little bit about myself and Zillow Group, and then some of the pillars of our content strategy that we're using to engage with existing customers. So not trying to get them to become customers. These are folks who are already bought in, and we want them to stay with us for longer or retain them. And then finally, I'll share three examples and learnings, things that I'm hoping you guys can take back and maybe apply to your own businesses. Cool. So we can get started with a little bit about myself. I put this wonderful picture of myself in the middle of this brain, because I really do consider myself kind of in between the creative and the analytical. Even in my course of study, I'm a liberal arts graduate at heart, but I pursued an MBA. And content strategy, I found, is a wonderful field for someone like me, who's like smack in between the left brain, right brain dilemma. I don't know how many people in this room feel that way. But I'm super lucky, or feel very lucky, that at Zillow I get to exercise this on a daily basis. And so I consider that my primary role in the company is to find real estate agents, get them to become brand advocates for our company ultimately by using our products and our services. So before we get into my role specifically in content strategy, a little bit about Zillow Group. So Zillow Group is the largest online real estate portal online. What you can see here is sort of like the exponential growth that our company has gone through in the past mostly 3 years. So we hit a peak of 171 million unique users back in May. And so we've really sort of exploded in traffic. And of course, how we sort of monetize that traffic has to do with the formula that we consider the formula for our success, which is the company is very much focused in driving really, really good people who can create really, really good products, and then those products drive eyeballs, those eyeballs mostly coming from people looking for a home, either to buy or sell it. And ultimately, our job is to connect that massive audience of home shoppers with an audience of professionals through tools. So our website, mobile apps, et cetera. So on my side, personally, I engage with the real estate professional. Zillow Group overall has multiple sort of professional personas that we engage with or that we connect with home shoppers, from mortgages to multifamily to new construction. But my role is specifically tied to the agent personas. So overall, Zillow Group is really a marketplace. We are connecting one side of the marketplace, the demand side, with the seller side of the marketplace. And these are the personas that we sort of like live and die by. On the demand side, you have folks who want to buy or sell a home. So we have the seller, the buyer, and then what we call Harriet, the sort of like homeowner, which is kind of also like our stalker persona, who's just like going around and trying to see who renovated their kitchen so they can copy it. And then on the supply side, we have three core personas: Alan, who's the individual agent; Bruce, who's the broker; and then Audrey, who is the team lead. Audrey's are mostly individual agents who now manage large groups of real estate agents. So in terms of Zillow itself, my team is the most B2B that you can get. But the truth is that the real sort of core B2B component is encompassed in the Bruces and the Audreys, like the team leads and the brokers. But the majority of Zillow's business comes from the individual agents who buy advertising on the site. So my job is a weird mix between B2B and B2C, because agents who hold a credit card and are able to enter it themselves on a site or through a salesperson is just a different flavor of B2C in my mind. So these are sort of the personas that like I live and die by. And the way that these two personas interact in this marketplace has significantly changed in the past even 3 years. With 5 years, I would say it started to really change. So in the past, you're a buyer, you want to buy a home. The first thing that you would do is you would go to an agent and you would contact that agent, and the agent would hold all this information and would eventually release it to you. So you would have visibility into what homes are for sale, what their price point is, when they were last sold, et cetera. And then ultimately, after Alan or the agent would give you this information, you would buy your home. With all the changes that have happened with online real estate marketplaces, including Zillow, this has significantly changed. So buyers will now typically find a home online. They'll go on Zillow, they'll go on Trulia or Street Easy if they're in New York City. They'll figure out what's available, they'll look at price points and what they want to do with the home that they want to buy. And then after they have all that information, that's when they contact the agent. So this formula has sort of like flipped the industry on its head a little bit, which for someone in my role marketing to real estate agents directly, that could put us in a pretty contentious position. And don't take my word for it. The truth is that everything is sort of moving online in the real estate space, and whereas even 5 years ago, agents were still the number one way that a home buyer would find a home, that those numbers are changing really drastically. And you can see here on the side, the digital resources that are currently being used to buy a home, still very desktop heavy, but that mobile percentage continues to grow year over year. So the landscape for a real estate agent, who is my primary customer, who we serve, has changed drastically. And the way that I kind of describe it is, you know, we've gone from having agents that were information gatekeepers. They held the keys to the MLS data. They held the keys to what homes were for sale, to agents that really have to be trusted advisors. They have to be able to, like, basically guide that person through the home shopping process and not just hold all the information about what homes are for sale. It's a significant, significant shift in the way that this industry operated in the past. So what are some ways that, from a marketing standpoint, we try to sort of mitigate that shift and help our customers, our agents? First, we create really good products. So show of hands for anyone who knows what Zillow is before I started talking about it. That's awesome. Show of hands for anyone who knows what Premier Agent is. Great. One person. Okay. I've given this talk a couple times and no one ever knows what it is. I hope that 5 years from now this has significantly changed. But Premier Agent is actually our agent-facing brand. And all the products that we create that are for agents specifically fall under sort of the Premier Agent umbrella. So I really, that's the brand that I manage and work to grow. So our brand encompasses products that sort of hit every single part of an agent's funnel, from at the very top of the funnel, helping them create awareness about themselves and their brand. We do this by helping them create an agent profile that runs across all our online real estate properties. They can also update their listings, add video walkthroughs of their homes, and get more views on their listings so they can connect with more buyers and sellers that way. And then finally, we have a sort of ad retargeting or like audience extension product that we launched recently called PA Direct. One step down the funnel, we help them directly connect with buyers and sellers through advertising. And then the sort of two last steps in the funnel here are a more recent thing that we started investing in, realizing that our customers, giving them the leads from active home shoppers on our portals was not really enough. We actually needed to help them more directly with lead conversion and give them technology to be able to convert those leads into a sale. So we started investing really aggressively into sort of lead management and transaction management software that we give to real estate agents for free. This includes Premier Agent Concierge, which is a solution that helps agents respond to leads very quickly. And then our app, which is a sort of light version of a CRM. where you can manage your leads. And finally, Dotloop, a company that we recently bought that helps with all the crazy real estate paperwork. So we do a lot with our products. The hard thing, and this is where the content stuff comes in, is that our products are not plug and play. None of them are. Because we operate in an industry that, frankly, when I stepped into this role, and even still, you have conversations with agents that are using fax machines and very sort of old technology to manage their business, and suddenly we're trying to introduce CRMs and introduce all this technology to an industry that, frankly, has been pretty old school for a very long time. We need other solutions to help agents be successful beyond just providing free products. So that's kind of where content steps in from my end and from the sales end. So when I stepped into, moved away from demand generation into a role focused on customer marketing, I sat with sales leadership and we sort of started thinking about what content can I provide to sales and what content should we be creating for agents. And the first thing that came up from a sales standpoint was any content that helps with customer success. Our customer success is our success. If our agents are successful with our tools and our products and they see ROI, we are going to be successful as a company. We're going to be able to retain them for longer. So the first pillar that the sales and marketing organization sort of came up with was really we need content that helps agents solve direct problems in a way that contributes significantly to their success, whether it be with our own products and tools or with other products and tools that help them manage their business. The second piece, which just speaks to the tension that I alluded to earlier between online real estate portals, the change that those portals have had in the real estate space, and the reaction of the industry to those changes, is trust building. We definitely are super invested as a company to winning the hearts and minds of agents and making sure that they see Zillow Group and the Premier Agent brand as a benevolent presence in the real estate space. So these two things are kind of what guide our paying customer or customer engagement content strategy. And in the next 15 minutes or so, I'm just going to walk you through some examples and learnings of things that we've tried that have been successful. So as I mentioned, problem solving, directly addressing problems and helping customer success is the number one priority for us, built in with trust or creating trust in our customer. So these are three examples of content pieces that did that. The first one's trying to solve the problem, I want to get more leads, or these are people who are advertising with us and are not seeing the returns that they thought they would see. The second one is, I want to be a local expert. You've changed my role in the real estate space, and now I have to be much more of a counselor and a consultant to the people looking to buy homes in my area. How can I be that person? And the third one is feeling motivated. And this is by far my favorite because I think real estate is hard, and being a real estate agent is really, really hard. And a lot of agents will wake up, they don't have a manager, they don't have a team. They need stuff to feel motivated to go out and sell and make cold calls on a daily basis. So I'm going to show you some examples of how Premier Agent and Zillow Group is trying to, we're trying to insert ourselves in the motivation space and trying to help agents feel motivated and build trust with our brand in that way. Okay, so the first one, the profile scorecard. So the problem here is I want to get more leads. So in the past, an agent who is paying us a decent amount of money to advertise on our sites would call their sales rep and say, I'm not getting the leads you told me I was going to get. And the subsequent conversation was typically, you are not because you need to update your profile. Here are some things that you need to do to make sure that you stand out in the competition in your market. Make sure that you have enough reviews, that you have an updated photo, et cetera, et cetera. So these are sort of like one-on-one conversations that were happening on a daily basis with no sort of broader content or marketing support to facilitate those conversations at the sales level. So what we created in coordination with analytics, we basically ran a regression to try to figure out what are the traits that an agent needs to have in his profile on the site to be successful, to get the leads that we are projecting that agent to get at that zip code. And so we took those traits and we built what we call a gas pedal. So it's kind of, this is like the agent profile. When you're logged in, you see that there's like specific things that you need to do. to have a complete profile, and then we built out a monthly triggered email that goes out to all agents that says how many profile views you've gotten, and we actually tell them you're either strong, you're poor, or you're excellent. So we kind of give them guidance on like how well they're doing, which helps in some ways with this whole motivational factor of like rooting them forward when they're doing really, really well. The connection here with sales is excellent because sales is aligned to when these campaigns are being sent. So if one of their customers is not doing well or suddenly like hasn't completed their profile, instead of waiting for that customer to inevitably call them and say, I'm not seeing leads, I'm gonna cancel, that salesperson can be much more proactive and have that conversation way before and potentially prevent that customer from churning. So it would be insane for me to like stand here and claim that this is a unique idea. It is absolutely not. This is something that a lot of marketers are doing, just not as much in the B2B space. But one thing that I like always hammer home, particularly for the product marketing team that manages agent product, is that inevitably we need to move away from that email. Sorry if there's anyone from Voxer, I'm like totally calling you out, but I've done this a million times. Emails and marketing programs that just call out benefits with text, bulleted lists with highlighted words that sort of tell a customer this is why you should engage with this product. Modern marketing is much more about showing and using data and personalization to do so. And these are probably some of my like best examples or like some of my favorite examples. The first one, which is like in my mind the first email of this kind, which is Facebook's notification when someone added a picture of you on their site. Imagine if Facebook marketers had said, you know what, we're just gonna send them like an email that says, this is why you should check out your pictures, or this is why like the picture feature in Facebook is super cool and important. Instead, they decided to basically trigger these communications that are personalized and timely. And Mint, who's a financial sort of management and planning company, does the same thing. Another huge benefit of this on the marketing side, where we get a lot of pressure to send a lot of emails to our customers, and there's definitely a cost to oversending and depleting your list. When you build emails like the profile scorecard I shared or any of these examples here, it's a fresh opportunity to communicate with customers on a monthly basis, and it's not as invasive. It's an email that deploys every month. I don't touch it. I don't have to rewrite it. The data populates in seamlessly. All I do is sort of track performance, but it's a super, super efficient marketing program that really helps move the needle. So the key tactic here really is data personalization and a healthy, what I call a healthy dose of FOMO, or fear of missing out, in helping you show your customers what they're missing out on and not necessarily tell them with words. As good as those words might be, they just won't be as effective as actually showing them. And I put a really important asterisk in there of making friends with your data people. It took me about a year to make friends with our data warehouse people to be able to get the data we needed to start building some of these campaigns. So the worlds of marketing and data analytics and data warehousing are kind of really like coming together. And I would say that's a very critical partner that I consider as critical as our partnership with the sales organization. Okay, next example. Market trends. So Zillow employs an entire floor full of economists. We publish tons of articles about the housing economy, the housing trends all over the country. Obama has even been to our headquarters to talk about housing. So from the B2C standpoint, we are very invested in being the main source of sort of housing trends information. On the B2B side, I always heard from real estate agents, I want to learn more about housing trends. I want more information that you guys can provide us. So we said, okay, let's start. Let's sort of take that very complex like econ reporting that we're doing on the B2C side that is meant mostly actually for government agencies, and let's rewrite it for a real estate agent audience. So we started producing these guys over here, which were mostly slide shares, PDFs, and like short form articles that we would provide sales so they could send those to their clients. And then we would also send those directly from marketing to our customers. The one you see on the right here is by far our biggest one that we released back in October, and it's a very, very comprehensive housing trends report that if you want, if you have like 5 hours of your time and want to read it, I'm more than welcome to. So how we sort of started this was thinking, okay, we want to empower agents to be real estate experts in their local market, so let's give them information that makes them look super smart. So we did that. So we gave them, as I said, PDFs, like articles, content, videos about these sort of housing trends, thinking that they would then share those with their customers or with their peers, thus becoming local experts, which we know is the main customer pain point. What we learned, though, was that a huge set of our customers actually hated this content and the way we were providing it. Our unsubscribes for like our non-paying audience spiked significantly when we started these efforts. The content was just not doing well. But we knew from like customer panels that they wanted this content, so we started actually testing a bunch of different iterations of it, and where we landed was with something like what you see on the right here, which is taking the content and allowing agents to add their own information to it. So in this particular piece, an agent can go in and put in their first name, last name, drop in their picture, add their like email address and their phone number. And so we basically allowed agents to use our thought leadership pieces to brag about their own thought leadership with their clients. And ultimately, that's what they wanted. So the piece on the right, super successful. And so now everything we do around market trends directed towards our agent community gives them the opportunity to add their own information and sort of make it their own and share that with their customers directly. So the key tactic here is we learned that it's really important to share the thought leadership spotlight with our customers because they want to be thought leaders themselves more than we want to be thought leaders to them. And so that's been a super successful tactic that we are going to continue pursuing for a bunch of different content pieces. And then finally, this is probably my favorite, our Milestones content program. And this, same as the other examples I provided, is very aligned with the sales organization. So we know that, as I mentioned, agents work alone. It's a sales job, ultimately. And a lot of them don't have peers, so they want to feel motivated. It's really important for them to feel motivated. There's an entire sort of real estate coaching industry that has formed around this particular problem. So we started thinking, how could we, without being like a rah-rah-rah real estate coach, how can we sort of start inserting ourselves into that conversation and be more of a positive voice with agents? So we don't do a lot of social listening, actually, but we do a lot of like community engagement. I don't know if this is the case for a lot of the businesses that you guys run on the real estate side. There are hundreds of real estate communities on Facebook. Agents in Phoenix, agents in whatever, agents who love CRM, agents who hate CRM, agents who hate Zillow, tons. So we started like signing up and participating in those communities, and what we immediately found was that some of the top content that agents would post themselves in these communities was total bragging, just bragging about every time they're featured in a top 10 list, every time they get an award, every time that they get a review on Zillow. So it's a pretty braggy set of customers. So we decided that we wanted to help them brag even more. So we started sort of a hashtag called Wednesday. So we would, like, in our social channels, we would just encourage agents to share their wins on Wednesday. The funny thing is that they actually, all of them will post, or a lot of them will post, it's Sunday, but it's still Wednesday. And so Wednesday is like every day for real estate agents, which is kind of hilarious. So we started doing that. That sort of got a lot of engagement. So then we started building out a more robust program. So right now what we have is dedicated specific milestones from data, Zillow Group data that we're able to read and measure and track. So milestones for how many reviews you've gotten on the site, how many past sales are associated to your profile, or even getting your first review or adding your first picture. And so we took a bunch of like our old emails that were very sort of operational and were like, congratulations, I'm a robot, you got a review, or this, you know, we have associated this piece of data from an MLS to a home that you might have sold, And we totally shifted those campaigns to be super like congratulatory and very motivating. And so you can see that on the left. That email used to read, we have associated data feeds, blah, blah, blah. We changed it to celebration is in order. Congratulations, you sold a home. That's amazing. And we started tying that back to, we built an agent store that is fulfilled by a third-party vendor. We started tying those campaigns back to the agent store and then getting sales really bought into the idea and really involved in the process. So this creates such a great opportunity for a sales rep to call their client and say, hey, I heard you have your 100th review. That's amazing. You know this gift basket is on the way. We're so grateful for your business. And sales reps really love it. And it creates a really nice sort of like marketing alignment with sales. So these are some of the examples, as I said. It's mostly around reviews and transactions that are closed. But we're continuing to explore other milestones. And some of them, frankly, are digital, so they don't cost us any money. It's just an opportunity to congratulate someone in a feel-good moment. So the main tactic here was monitor and listening to customers and what they post. We used, in my previous job, we used to do a lot of social listening, and a lot of it was very sort of spreadsheet-driven, where you would just see the main words that were being shared or the main sort of trends in the tweets. I found that when we started really interacting with these Facebook communities, my world kind of changed, because it was like being embedded, like an anthropologist in my customer's brain all of a sudden. So I highly recommend social listening of the embedded kind, I guess. And watching agents interacting with each other and using that to inform your content strategy for paying customers is the key takeaway. So overall, identifying goals for your content, easier said than done. I didn't go deep into the process that we undertook to identify those two things, building trust and helping solve problems. It was a collaboration between sales and marketing to get there, but one thing that I will say that is so different from the world of demand generation is that in demand generation, our content strategy had such clear goals. We knew exactly what we needed to do. We need to generate marketing qualified leads, sales qualified leads. Like, we need to move them down the pipeline. We just knew that field is super developed. Once you move over to sort of the customer engagement world, it's very different. It's not that easy. And so making sure that the content strategy goals are set and aligned with sales or based on some rhyme or reason is really important, because I feel like before we did this, we actually were just creating a bunch of content that we thought was engaging, but didn't really feel like we were moving anything in any given direction. And then the three main tactics that we discussed, data, personalization, and FOMO. Awesome, as long as you have data people who love you and want to help you. Sharing thought leadership spotlight with your customers. And then finally, monitoring and listening to social conversations. That's it. I have a couple minutes. Thank you so much.
Any questions for Rita before we wrap up?
Thank you. The three problems you identified, I want to get more leads, I want to be a local expert, I want to feel more motivated. Did you have research behind that?
Yeah.
Was it your persona research? Or?
Yeah. So we have, the persona research I don't think helped as much. We did qualitative research, just like customer panels. We did like probably 8 of those to start, and that was like a really good first forward in helping us understand the key customer problems or pain points that we were trying to solve for. But this was like last year. Now we actually are starting to hire a research team so we can do much more of these going forward. But these were sort of like the highest level pain points that we took out of that research initially.
Just yell.
Yeah. I know, and that's a hard one, because at first we said, okay, let's track churn, customer retention and churn, and we are just not there yet. Whereas on the demand gen side, our content strategy is tracked at like the UTM term level, the campaign level, we know how much revenue we're driving. in this world of like customer marketing, it's much more hard, it's much harder to attribute like reduction in churn to a particular piece of content. So we started to sort of, for now, we're focused mostly on like engagement with these different campaigns and what they're doing to either move like channel metrics, emails, open rates, et cetera, or website engagement metrics, because we have a content hub. So all of this traffic points over to our content hub. So we're using that, and then direct sales feedback on like yay or nay. Like sales loves the milestones, yay, let's do it. But I have to say, like, it takes a certain, like for me, who I like love being super metrics driven, it's been really hard because I wanna see the money. Like I wanna see how much money I'm like keeping in the business as a result of all these efforts, and we are just not there yet. I think we can get there if we hire like 10 data scientists.
There were more marketers that said, I want to see the money.
Show me the money.
All right, we're going to have to wrap up. If anyone has any other questions for Rita, I'm sure she'll be around and can answer any other questions.
You can email me too.
You can put her on your spam list and have your sales development people help her. This is the last session of Sales Impact Summit. Thank you for those of you who have been multiple sessions. As Andrew mentioned at the beginning of the show yesterday, it was really important after last year that we add more sales enablement, sales conversion type content. So when you fill out your surveys, please let us know what you thought of this, what you'd like to see next year, what you thought of the speakers. Tell them the MCs kind of were fantastic, whatever you feel like saying on there. But definitely want to keep doing this if it's valuable. So thanks again. Break time now.